Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. It is a lovely Friday afternoon, and we're in Cambridgeshire.
We are in Cambridgeshire. We are at Wimpole Hall and the wonderful Cambridge History Festival.
We are. Wimpole Hall is to our right. James, I want you to not look at the house, and I want you to tell me how many windows there are in it.
There are probably a lot of windows, Sam.
Guess.
I would imagine there are 103.
And 20...
Well, it depends whether you mean windows or do you mean individual panes, in which case there are probably several hundred. Oh, my God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 panes in each window times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 180 just there. So let's go 180, let's go 200, 400, 600, 800, 1,000 windows.
It's a fairly significant display.
It's quite a pile, isn't it?
Glacial wealth. Is glacial a word?
If not, it should be.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we've got Wimpole Hall itself on our right, 1640s, I think it was first built.
I think so.
And Then on our left we have a folly. I love a folly. So that to me is it's a tower. It's like a full 5-story tower, and it looks like there is
ruins around.
Ruins, but they will be deliberately built ruins.
Yes.
So I suspect that's been built to look like an old castle.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. So built in the 17th or 18th century to look like the ruins of a 12th century, 13th century castle.
Tremendous. I grew up with a folly in my back garden.
Did
as
you?
A small boy. Yes.
Between Were you brought up in Wimpole Hall?
I wasn't. I was brought up in a very ordinary house in a little seaside town in Yorkshire called Hornsey. And it was my parents named the house Tower House, and there was a folly in the garden. And it was terrifying.
Yeah. So the kind of a place for nightmares. It's a bit of a gothic
exactly.
nightmare place, that, isn't it?
It is. So, Wimpole Hall, we're here to do the History Festival.
We are. We're doing the History Festival. We are talking in an hour's time. Andrew Roberts is currently on. He's doing an excellent talk on Churchill.
And Melvin Bragg as well, talking about one of his new books.
Yeah. Who else is here? Lucy Worsley.
Lucy Worsley is
Anthony
here.
Anthony Beaver, the excellent Hallie Rubenhold, Neil Oliver, Claire Mully. And it's a great place. They've got a dedicated kids marquee, kids event thing, which I've not seen before at a history festival, and I think it's fantastic. So if you've got family, you've got kids, you need to come to the Wimpole History Festival.
They had 500 kids here yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is tremendous.
Over 4 days, and I think having a dedicated place for the children is a really, really splendid idea, because often there are these big marquees for adults to go in, and the kids are, you know, they roar around outside, and it's all very good. I was once invited to a history festival. It shall remain nameless. And they said, it's going to be a proper adult history festival, so no kids running around. And they tried to sell that as a good idea. And
it's dreadful.
They definitely got the wrong person to try
yes,
and sell
absolutely.
That to. Yeah. I am busy, my friend. I am not coming to your festival.
Did you take along your entire family and their friends
yeah.
and run around the lawn? Wimpole Hall. What does Wimpole Hall mean? What's the unexpected history of Wimpole Hall, Sam?
Well, looking at it now, I would say symmetry.
Symmetry?
As much as anything. There's a really interesting history of symmetry here. I'm not a very symmetrical person. It makes me feel slightly uncomfortable when everything is perfect. But this place has been beautifully designed in the sort of classic 18th century way. I know Capability Brown, he was a famous gardener. Can we call him that? He was a landscape architect.
Yes, yes.
He's done it. So what's great about this place, well, it's an interesting historical observation, is that everywhere you look, kind of looks both natural and unnatural. So we've got this very formulaic...
Well laid out garden.
So you've got symmetrical patterns of box hedges all the way around us, manicured trees. So they've obviously been deliberately cut by humans. It's all about controlling nature on the one side. Then you've got this fence. And then on the other side, it is, in theory, wild. So you've got big elms, you've got big oak trees. We've got all sorts of... there's wonderful space and parkland. But the trick, of course, is that it's not wild. It's been deliberately manipulated to be like that.
Absolutely. For me, Wimpole Hall is about lawn invasion. Mm. The house sort of passed down several generations, and it ended up being owned by the daughter of Rudyard Kipling, who lived here. And she got so annoyed with the hoi polloi coming up and gawping at her gates. Do you know what she did? She went to the local village and took a picnic and some friends and ended up having a picnic on somebody else's lawn.
Wow, to make up
to make up for it, yes.
I wonder if she had much sympathy.
She was really cross. But it also has a splendid library, doesn't it?
It does. It's got a splendid library, thousands of books.
6,000 or so books. And what is... This is a National Trust property. And what's remarkable about National Trust properties is that they have inherited literally tens of thousands of books. Normally, when you're wandering around as a visitor, you aren't allowed to touch and you aren't... You know, you just observe the books. But the National Trust has got them all catalogued. And if you go to the right people, and there is a curator of rare books at the National Trust, several curators, you're able, as a scholar, and probably if you had a letter of introduction, you would be able to go in and to look at these libraries and work through them. And what's interesting about a library within a house is about the reading within the household. So were these books, these 6,000 books, merely for ornamentation? Were they merely to look nice on the shelves, or were people actually coming down and reading them? And what's interesting is to think about the family, the people that were there, the kinds of books that are there, how they were collected over time, and who is going in and reading them. I'm a sucker for a library.
That's amazing. Because we talked about the one in Powderham Castle.
Yes, we did.
Family library.
Yes, we did.
So it's about how the collection was made, and then you think about who accessed the books, how and when.
Yes.
The interesting thing about the inside of this house is that it was basically empty in the 30s.
Right.
So it was stripped, a lot of it was sold. So the collection inside, which is really impressive, is actually a new collection of old Wimpole Hall stuff. So it's come back a lot of it.
Okay.
So it's not a kind of one of these places which has had a constant level of occupation, which is amazingly rare.
Yes.
And if you ever think that somewhere has, you're probably wrong, and a lot of stuff has gone away or come back, or it's not been on show. Everything changes. The inside of these houses will change. It'll be different in 5 years' time, different 5 years ago. It's got a yellow drawing room. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Buckingham Palace
I haven't
has
been
a yellow
here before.
Drawing room, and I did a bit of looking on the train up here, and there are loads of houses and castles that have yellow drawing rooms, and I know nothing about that, but it's obviously a thing.
We should do some research on that.
18th of the 19th century, people started having yellow rooms, and I'd love to know why. There's some kind of significance of yellow.
It's bright, it's uplifting, it's sunny.
True, those are all true, but I think it's a bit more significant
than that.
Is that relevant? Yeah, I think there might be some kind of important cultural history to it.
Well, I was thinking people were maybe...
When we went to Stowe, did we go into the blue room? There's a blue room.
Yes, we did, yes.
Right, so it's the same principle.
Yes.
But they're moving around the castles.
It's yellow.
But yellow's everywhere. And I've not been to the one in Buckingham Palace, and I really want to go.
Oh, well, you should ask. You should ask to be invited to tea.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Do you know, for me, a house like this and a National Trust property is all about consumption of history.
Wow.
So it's all about the way in which the National Trust as a body packages up the past. I mean, basically what they're doing here is they're selling Downton Abbey in a particular way. It's sort of wrapped up and dandified, and they interpret the past in a very sort of, you know, aristocratic, genteel. They sometimes do the sort of upstairs, downstairs way, but it's presented in a particular way. What's great about it is the way in which they open up the past, the heritage of this country, to a very, very broad population. But they're doing exciting things with different kinds of interpretation, different kinds of interpretation strategies at the moment.
I read a bit about it. They say you can go and explore the basement and where the people downstairs used to work and where the servants lived. And it was presented as a very polarised...
Upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey thing, kind of
which
thing.
Which didn't ring true to me at all.
No.
And I'm sure that life was infinitely more complex than
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to, I suppose you've got to sell a house and the different parts of it any way you can, and that's one way of doing it.
Absolutely.
There's an interesting bathhouse in here.
Ooh.
Well, not a bathhouse.
Have you been in?
No, but I know that it was designed... after the designer and the owner, I think particularly the designer, John Soane, had
yes.
just come back from Pompeii. Hmm. So he'd been to Pompeii and he'd seen the ruins in the 18th century and had come back inspired and built a plunge pool. And interestingly, they put it next to the chapel, which is a really weird place for a bath.
And I think you pray and then you plunge.
Yes, you do.
Did you know that Queen Victoria and Prince Albert visited the hall on the 27th of October, 1843? And it was... They apparently listened to a series of speeches by local politicians, including the Earl of Hardwick. Dinner was served for 26 people. A ball was held. And Her Majesty then, on the following day, visited a farm. And this was all reported in the Spectator magazine. And I'll read you a little extract. The Queen and Prince Albert have returned to Windsor Castle from their visit to Cambridgeshire. Before the dinner at Wimpole on Friday... addresses were delivered to Her Majesty and the Prince from the county by the Earl of Hardwick, Lord Lieutenant, and it goes on, blah, 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 blah. Covers were laid at dinner for 26. At night, the principal apartments were thrown open for a grand ball. At the south end of the gallery was a dais carpeted with crimson cloth, and on the dais a sofa covered with a beautiful piece of drapery given by Louis XIV to the poet Prior, and by him to the Earl of Oxford, the possessor of Wimpole, before its purchase by the Lord Chancellor Hardwick. The company began to arrive at 9 o'clock, and at 9:30 the royal party repaired to the gallery. The Queen wore a light primrose-coloured silk dress, brocaded with gold and colours, a wreath of flowers with diamonds and emeralds, and the riband and jewel of the garter. Her Majesty took her seat on the dais, and the persons of her court and of the mansion ranging themselves on either side. The Queen opened the ball with the Earl of Hardwick, Prince Albert dancing in the same quadrille with the Countess of Hardwick. At 11:30, the Queen and Prince Albert withdrew, and after spending 30 minutes in the supper room, retired to rest. Isn't that a lovely little...
That's brilliant.
...little bit?
Yeah.
See, I did my research on Wimpole Hall before we came here.
It raises the important question of the history of sitting. I like
it
the fact that not only did she sit, but it was deemed worthy of recording that she sat.
Yes.
That's odd, isn't it? I'd assume that the Queen sits most of the time.
Do you think she journeyed around with her own sofa? Or do you think they brought it out?
I don't know. I'd love to. Or maybe she had a special sofa built for her here.
Maybe, yes.
Here.
Yes. Excellent.
So we're on in a minute. We will do our usual normal show, but we're doing a bit of investigating and research into our new show, which is going to be The Unexpected History of the Tudors.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. And actually, it made me think about windows, because there's a bit of... Bit of throwing people out of windows in the
there
Tudors.
There is. Bit of defenestration.
There is.
And a little bit of it.
If there was a window here you'd like to throw someone out of, James, which one would it be?
I think it would be that top one. I think you could get out of it. There'd be a balcony.
You'd need
and
a balcony,
you can
don't
you? you could manhandle them out of the window and push them over the balcony.
Do you think you need an audience to throw someone out of a window? Is that the point of it?
No, I think maybe I've no idea. Let me think about that for a little more.
I reckon you do. It's only just right. I reckon you do. I reckon you need a busy street and it needs to be a bit of a thing. Or is the symbolism of actually you've got a window, therefore you can throw it out in peace and quiet and you
I mean, the idea is that I imagine part of the idea is that you disable or kill the person that you're throwing out of the window.
Yeah.
And it's the ultimate insult to somebody. I can't stand what you're saying. Get out! And you hurl them out of the window.
Which raises the important question of the history of height. I reckon it's all to do with falling as well. Height's really important, because I don't reckon there's going to be a lot of people being thrown out of ground floor
no.
windows.
No.
Are there?
No.
So your choice of top's good. And I reckon you need a bit of air time.
Yes.
And I think you need an audience.
And you need height. The Puritan diarist Nehemiah Wallington tried to commit suicide by hurling himself out of a window. But it was too low down, and he survived.
Did he not die of shame afterwards?
The diary continued.
The next morning, woke up very embarrassed. Must try harder next time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, should we do our little routine? Which raises the important question of...
Which raises the important, important question.
Which raises the important question of...
Of the history of...
Gloves.
Hands.
Hands. Gloves.
All sorts of things.
Perfume.
Yeah.
Hair. No. It's hands, gloves, perfume, watches, hair, scar, smile, chimney, signatures, hands.
Yeah, and it all makes sense if you come to the show, guys.
Yep. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. That's us over and out from our green room chat at Wimpole Hall.
It's an outside green room. It literally is green because we're out here looking at this wonderful garden.
We're at Chalk Valley next week, and then we've just found out we're doing the Gloucester History Festival in the autumn.
Yes.
So hopefully see you all there. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save